You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Whisper Biscuit.
Crime Weaver, Whisper Biscuit.
I am Gordy, the Whisper Biscuit.
And we are the Whisper Biscuit, and this is the Whisper Biscuit Tales. So, today I will be reading a folktale to of you from somewhere in the world that you will tear apart and joke about and derail as many times as possible.
Sure, and then as is our wont.
Take it, and we will piece it right back together into something that modern audiences would enjoy and cast in films and stuff.
We hope. we're going to try and elevate one of the passed over fairy tales to a level of standard that Disney would pick up.
We are coming up on 200 episodes.
Is
fast approaching.
It's not that far away.
We're hitting 180 soon, right?
This is 177.
So
of the proper full ones.
About how many screenplays need to be submitted before one gets picked up?
Or before they like put a restraining order on us?
I've heard that it is about 200.
Okay.
Like the first, they say that the first 199 screenplays that you write are garbage.
So pretty soon this is gonna start paying some dividends.
Yeah, it's gonna shoot right up. But really, our hope is to copyright all permutations of these fairy tales, so that if Disney ever does try to pick one up,
mm-hmm.
we'll be there with the lawsuit,
ready and waiting.
We'll fight the mouse.
I will fight the mouse. Well, let's get through these clunkers before we get to 200.
Is that what that Clash song was about? I fought the mouse when the mouse won.
Yes, that's exactly what it was about. Because the mouse does always win.
A Disney lawsuit.
Never bet on the mouse.
All right, well, today we are traveling to Poland. A land that has treated us well in the past. Might not do so today.
We're just going to leave our belongings scattered all over it again?
Yeah, like we do before we're chased out of a country into uh-huh. another one. We're going to Poland at the suggestion of Goose, who is at Silkskinned on Twitter.
A.K.A. Whisper Biscuit.
Everyone. Everything and everyone. All right.
Who? Silkskinned?
At Silkskinned. Let me make sure I got that right.
Boy, I'm glad we did this whole thing, because I did not have a title ready.
We're here to serve you, Gordy.
Yeah.
So thank you, Goose, and thank you for picking us up since the Adventure Zone thing, and for all the compliments that I read and didn't share with these other two fools.
I assume they're nice.
Goose is Polish on her dad's side, or their dad's side, I shouldn't assume. And this is a book of untranslated Polish fairy tales, previously untranslated Polish fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should let you do your thing before I ramble off into what we're doing.
What's my thing?
I believe we have a sponsor for this episode.
We do have a sponsor.
Okay, and who is that?
Our executive producer this week is Karima, a.k.a. Whisper Biscuit.
Excellent.
And Karima is being bestowed the Arne Thompson type 2031, strong, stronger, and strongest. Or if you'll allow me to update it slightly, stronk, stronker, and strongest.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But now this is not Whisper Biscuit Prime.
Well, we're all Whisper Biscuit Prime.
We are all alpha level Whisper Biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there...
It is a collective consciousness.
It is, but there is the dream bread we follow.
Of quiet... Of quiet baked goods.
Yes, the dream bread that we follow is my new religion. Agreed.
Thank you, Karima. Sorry that we have already ruined this episode.
Thank you, Karima. I think it's just getting started.
All right, so we are going to be reading the tale, People Getting Rich.
I feel like I've been reading this one a lot recently.
I've seen a lot of movies about this.
I feel like this is a shockingly relevant tale to our current climate. This is coming from the book Best of Polish Fairy Tales by, I will mutilate this name, Sergej Nowakow.
A.K.A. Whisper Biscuit.
Yes. Okay, so these stories were recorded from an oral tradition between 1992 and 2012 by this translator, whose name I will not murder again. They believe it's pronounced Novikov. so messed that up pretty hard.
Go back and listen again and laugh at how much it was messed up.
Yeah. Gordy's job is to say words from other countries very, very well, and my job is to mutilate them horribly and showcase my Gwinnett County, Georgia public school education. Okay, so are you two ready to get into this?
What do you think? We never talk anymore, you and I. It's
ever since our power was taken away, what is there to talk about?
Exactly.
It's just like,
we're
this
just
is what
to hear along
this is what
the
we're
read.
This is what we're reading. Are you ready? Doesn't matter. We're gonna do it anyway. What's there to say? It's an empty question. Am I ready? Who cares?
you belong to me and the listeners now.
It's happening.
All right. People getting rich. In a village, there was a poor man who, though he worked his fingers to the bone, could never get rich.
The immigrants.
What is the work? Is it flipping burgers?
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to get rich because he made your dinner for you, so you didn't have to.
So he works at McDonald's or one of the other probably many fast food chains available in medieval Poland.
Well, not for much longer, because I'm going to complain about bones being in my burger.
Is that not the point of, well, the McRib at least?
No, the McRib is boneless.
Is that why they don't have the McRib anymore? Because there was bones in it?
They worked the McRib until the bones were out of it.
They
and that's
worked
what,
it?
Yeah.
In what way?
They rubbed the McRib.
They wished them all out. No, surely it has bones or it's not a McRib.
Well, no, there are no bones. It is not a rib. It is a McRib, which
okay,
takes
so it's, so it's
all the rib
poorly
out of,
titled.
Yeah, no, it is a well-advertised thing that makes people think they want it until their mouths are actually on it, and then they realize, this is just like some kind of weird pork slurry that has been vaguely sculpted into something resembling the idea of ribs as drawn by a 3-year-old.
I do not think I've ever had a McRib.
Well, you can continue living in that blissful state.
I feel like I should.
Just once?
If only so that I can participate in the ongoing conversation about the McRib.
Just like part of the cultural zeitgeist for a little bit?
Yeah, I'd like to participate.
Can I interest you in a McRib covered in McFlurry, like Shamrock Shake, and also Szechuan sauce?
I'm interested.
This is the ultimate McDonald's meal.
I think I'd die, but but I'm interested.
Tension is grabbed.
So this person works at the McRib Shack.
Mm-hmm.
And poverty is a nasty guest in his home that he cannot get rid of no matter what he does. He should have just pulled himself up by his bootstraps. That's a thing that's possible.
Poverty is a real Owen Wilson. It just never leaves your house and kills all your dogs.
Is that what Owen Wilson is known for?
Both of those habits, yes.
Is it not Shanghai Noon and Shanghai Nights?
Not anymore.
What is Owen Wilson known for? That's a good question.
Crashing weddings.
Yeah.
Having a dead dog.
What's the dead dog?
Marley and Me.
That seems like weird casting. And I've never seen the movie. If you told me there's a sad movie about a dog who dies, mm-hmm, starring Owen Wilson, I would tell you to get out of my face.
And he's a real Dupree. Just a couch crasher. He crashes three things. Dogs, weddings, and couches.
Not Drill Bit Taylor?
I don't think so.
Does he crash the dog?
He
I haven't seen that
the
movie.
Dog.
That sounds terrible. I'm not going to see that movie now.
He crashes the dog at a luge, a downhill luge.
All right, so one day, St. Peter was riding through the village.
Uh-huh.
Heading to heaven on business, but he needed to stop at the inn to feed his horse.
Doesn't he live up there?
Yeah,
I feel like here would be business.
I think he, like, maybe he just commutes a lot.
That's a hell of a commute.
It's a heaven of a commute, Tyler.
Oh, sorry.
Stop blaspheming.
Mea culpa.
He was swarmed with villagers when he arrived, who were all bringing him their request to send to God, and the poor man went as well. And he asked St. Peter why he was so poor in spite of all his hard work and his diligent living.
This is Fiddler on the Roof.
Yada, yada, yada.
Right? Is this what we're reading?
Bohemian sure. Rhapsody.
Is it? What?
It's La Vie Boheme.
Okay.
So at first, St. Peter refused to take his question because
he's busy.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, he has a lot to do, and I'm going to forget this.
I get asked this precise question 7,000 times a day.
I'm not going to remember. I'm sorry. You see all of this paperwork? Poor man begged so wildly that St. Peter felt sorry for him, so he took the gold saddle with its gold stirrups off of his horse's back and passed it off to this man and says, "All right, hold on to this until I come back, because I'm defo going to forget your question, but when I, like, saddle up to go back to Earth, I will realize that my saddle's missing, and then I will remember why."
I use the same memory technique that St. Peter does sometimes.
Give your gold saddle to people?
No, I mean, not to that level of detail, but stuff like here, like, I'm going to put this thing here.
Right.
So that when I go to do it, something will be wrong, and I will think about why and remember the thing.
You're using brain collateral.
It is brain. I was going to say it's a life hack, but brain collateral is probably a good competing website that
it's
we can start.
Ransom against your own brain.
Oh, I wish that worked for me. I pretty much have to put stuff in tripping places so that I will trip over them and be like, oh, I need to bring that.
You just put your lunch in your shoes.
Yeah, so he gives him the gold saddle and he goes off to heaven, and the peasant hides the saddle in his lumber room and waits impatiently for news from heaven to return. So after some time, St. Peter completed whatever heaven work he had, and he was preparing to return to Earth with his horse when he realized, oh, crap, saddle. Oh, yeah, question. Whoops-a-doodle.
Diggity-dang.
And he goes to God and asks him, makes a man dog poor, which is a Polish euphemism for dirt poor, hard work and honesty. And God says,
ask Owen Wilson,
that because he's not a deceitful fraud that he's poor. And what I assume is the tone of a doctor who's just like ushering you out of the room so they can get to their next patient.
Very matter of fact. And not very like highly thinking of humanity.
No, I mean accurate. So Peter down to Earth, and as soon as his figure is visible in the distance, the peasant runs to him eager for the answer. And as soon as St. Peter recognizes the peasant, he says, hey, can you, like, grab my saddle? I gotta move this along.
I gotta scoot.
And the man says, well, did he tell you what's keeping me from being rich? And St. Peter said, well, it's because you're not a deceitful fraud, so bring me the saddle, please. So the poor man wasn't dumb. He was a pretty quick learner, so he put two and two together. And he said, what saddle?
Oh, we're not playing this game, sir.
The big old wink. What saddle, you say?
You're gonna get smoked.
St. Peter's like, what the hell are you talking? The saddle, the one that I gave you so I would remember to bring you this answer, the gold one, the saddle. Bring it to me, please. I need to move on. And also chop chop. And the peasant says, I don't think you gave it to me. You must have gotten me mixed up with some other peasant person. St. Peter was in a great hurry, and he couldn't take the time to argue this out. So he just...
I'll build a new one.
I'll pick up a new one.
So yeah. He just kind of waves him on and continues on his way. So the poor man got his saddle quite easily.
And that heavenly horse is going bareback.
Getting chafed. So then he says, let's see what comes next. Maybe steepling his fingers and cackling a little bit.
To who and what?
To himself, like any true villain.
Let's see what happens next?
Let's see what comes next.
Hmm. I mean, you gotta fence that thing.
Right, so he goes to sell it.
Yeah, it is too hot.
So he finds a dealer and he negotiates the price of 100 goldens and a cow.
How would you go about selling a solid gold saddle?
I have this, you
heaven.
Want it?
But like, who would buy, could buy such a thing?
King.
Who, like, did he sell it to a king?
No, he sold it to a dealer, but the dealer might know a king who he can just say, hey, this thing exists.
It seems like a hard thing to get rid of, because, like, anybody in the village, if you're like, do you need a gold saddle? Like, do you want it? They'd either say, like, no, I could not use that, or I do not have the money for this.
There is no use for this.
Yeah.
Well, like, I can always melt it down.
I guess. I don't know if there's like an official currency at this point.
Yeah, so the dealer gave him the goldens up front and was going to bring the cow by later when it came back in from pasture, at which point the saddle trade would take place. So in the evening, the dealer brought the cow and asked for the saddle, and the peasant says, I'm not giving you this saddle for a cow. And the dealer complains that, like, well, I also gave you money, but the peasant feigns ignorance about this.
What money?
And tells the dealer to take his cow and get out of his face, not insult him with such a lowball offer.
So we got 100 money.
Yeah.
And a saddle.
Mm-hmm. None cow, though.
He works at McDonald's.
He's surrounded by cow.
He can
cow whenever.
Yeah, he can get dead cow. You think they kill him there?
Donald's?
Yeah.
Ye old McDonald's?
Yeah. I mean, like, again, in ye olde days.
At ye olde peasant McDonald's, they are absolutely slaughtering it in the back room.
That's the real, like, farm-to-table experience. Are we going to get there? Because farm-to-table's really big right now, but I don't know how many restaurants go so far as to, like, let you pick out the specific animal that you will eat.
Can we go table to farm?
What is moving from table to farm?
Us.
So it is like go out into the pasture
and just nibble on a leg.
Like you eat whatever the cow will let you eat while it's walking around out there.
Yeah. Whatever the cow won't stop you from eating.
That's just foraging.
Here's a broken bottle. Go see what you can do.
I could see.
Whatever you can hunt in this pasture is yours.
I could see like the whole free cycling food movement thing, managing to create sort of a restaurant experience where it's a farm, but it's done like a natural habitat. Like it's not all wheat fields and everything. It's a forest and there are edible plants that have been specifically cultivated there. And you're given a menu, which is a list of what mushrooms aren't poisonous.
You're given a menu, which is a map.
Map and what mushrooms you can eat without dying. And then they send you out and you go forage for your own food. And then you pay them $40 for the experience and tip your waiter and then leave.
Can it be multiple habitats like Zootopia?
Sure, yeah.
Where you go to like Chili Zone.
Yeah.
When you want ice cream and penguin.
the chilies. So you mean like, you mean chili as in the temperature.
Yeah.
Not as in the restaurant or the food.
No, not the chilies.
So I thought you meant like this is the area where we just grow
this is where
in the wild, like
the wild
like the chilies 2 for $20 menu.
Yeah,
this is where you can find it. Sizzles like a fajita.
It's the wild pepper poppers cheese pizza or whatever the kids menu thing is. Pepper pals is, cheese pizza.
Boy, this is, I'm just gonna say we're gonna end up in some kind of Wonka land with this idea, because it would be really great if you could cultivate, like, here's the beer river. Just go, like, stick your head in, drink as much as you want. It's fine.
It's a land of pure Texas cheese fries.
Yeah. Yeah. Here are the mushrooms come up grilled and stuffed with cheese. You can eat fried pickles off the stalk.
I like that funky Wonka land, and I also like the idea of like a restaurant that is a bunch of different greenhouses, like, yeah, set to different environments, and you do just have to forage the raw food. And there are places where you can build fires and stuff if you want to like cook it yourself.
Yeah. I was going to say, is there still a chef, or do you just eat it straight off the plant, or
you
what?
You have to pay extra for the chef.
Okay, so maybe there's like, you have to go grab the ingredients from the wild, and then they have almost hibachi style just fire pits, and then there's a chef who knows how to like make that into food.
Twirl the like the knives and the utensils in fun ways.
Right. Like he gets the meat that you have killed by hand and stuff. Sit on a steak.
Yeah, all they give you is a bag and a revolver with six with six bullets.
They don't give you a revolver. They give you a spear hand carved out of mahogany.
What if we turned Chopped into a restaurant?
That would be fun. I still want to play Chopped the house game.
Well, you have a restaurant. It hires these great chefs. But every night is a challenge for them because the people come up one by one with stuff that they pulled off of a shelf. They say, make me a dinner from this. I had 20 seconds to choose my ingredients.
That'd be...
Please cook this into something that won't kill me.
That would be interesting.
Anyway, he can quit his job now because he has 100 goldens and a gold saddle.
Yeah, it's just an infinite gold saddle. It's a cheat code.
It's an exploit, yeah.
So he pocketed the money, but he didn't get away scot-free because the dealer sued him. A judge appointed a trial date, and the date of the trial comes, and the peasant just goes into the inn and sits down.
Hmm.
So just bails on?
Kind of, yeah. So it's a small enough town that everybody knows there is a court date and who's involved.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking him, like, hey, why aren't you in court? And he says, well, how can I go to court without a coat? So one kind gentleman loans him a fur coat to wear.
Baller.
Mm-hmm.
So he's Macklemore-ing it up, but still just like hanging out in the inn. So they ask him again, why isn't he going to court? And he says, well, how can I go to court without boots? So another kind man lends him a pair of boots.
He's gonna pop some tags. Only got a golden saddle in his pocket.
So he's still just sitting on his ass, and I ask him again, and he says, well, I do need a hat if I'm going to do this.
I would love a hat.
So someone gave him a hat, and so he gets up and he goes to court, and the three people who lent him stuff says, let's see how this trial plays out. So they follow him to watch it. So
he's probably looking real fly now, right?
Yeah.
The real what?
He's looking real fly now in his hand-me-down suit.
So the dealer tells his whole story to the judge. And demands his 100 goldens back. The peasant would not admit to any of these deeds. He tells the judge he doesn't know what he did, but everyone in this town is trying to rob him and trying to fleece him, and he is having none of it, and bets that that man over there would even claim that the coat on his back was his. And the man's like, it is mine.
Yes, he's mine.
And then he says, and that guy, he probably thinks that these boots belong to him. He's like, well, yeah, they do.
There's a problem with this plan.
Uh-huh.
They can corroborate each other's stories.
Yeah.
They were all present for when they gave him stuff.
Yeah.
And then he does the same thing with the hat guy.
Witnesses. It's a problem.
This judge is befuddled by these claims.
Well, these three men are clearly lying.
And this one man is telling the truth. All these others are the liars.
He believes that everybody had agreed to rob the peasant in broad daylight, so he sends everybody away.
Fucking conspiracy theory judge.
And declares the peasant not guilty.
This town is trying to rob this man.
How big of a town can this be?
Maybe 30 people.
Like, they must know each other. If, like...
Can't run
like,
this
if
convert.
You're in a town of 30 people and suddenly, like, Greg shows up and he's got nice stuff and, like, gold and money and he's spending money that you know he didn't have earlier, you wouldn't think something was up.
Yeah, Greg, who has been defined by his poverty for his whole life, suddenly rolls in with a brand new fur coat.
Like, hey, it's poverty Greg wearing really nice stuff. What's the deal, poverty Greg? Where'd you get it?
So Poverty Greg kept everything. The hat, the fur coat, the boots, the saddle, and the gold.
Poverty Greg is my favorite holiday special for kids.
And he began getting rich as he played cunning all the time. The end.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it. That's all this story gives you. Shall we rip this one apart?
Sure.
Like Voltron, this is going to take some assembly, I think.
What's the deal with Poverty Greg?
What's the deal with him?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Why does he...
I mean, St. Peter told him the only reason he was miserable and poor was because he wasn't a dick. And so, it's like, and well, you, all right.
If you want to get rich, you have to be, what was it? A liar and deceitful or something?
A deceitful fraud.
Which, like, I don't know that much about getting rich because I'm not...
Didn't do it
haven't managed that quite yet.
Working on it.
Didn't mean to buy a Mega Millions ticket today. I did forget.
I'm sure people do get rich through hard work. I bet it's way easier to take some shortcuts or just inherit it.
Yeah, I think inherit is easiest. Asshole is second easiest. Hard work is, this might pay off in 40 years.
Right.
Might not.
Yeah. So there's some truth to that. Like, why aren't you rich? If you were a bigger dick, you might get there.
Yeah, like, I feel like the story is telling reality pretty well.
Sure. Why did God issue him this challenge?
I don't think he issued him this challenge. I think he was busy.
It sounds like he's like, why isn't he rich? Like, well, like, to get rich, usually, like, you gotta do these things.
In my experience as God, I have seen.
Like, I know that in the, like, biblical tradition, like in the traditional readings of the Bible, the rich are not generally looked upon as being particularly virtuous or good.
I mean, no, being wealthy is not a good thing because you should, like, if you're rich, you should give away your possessions to people who need it.
Right.
I mean, there's...
So, like, typically when one of these folktales introduces the religious aspect in the beginning, there is a comeuppance at the end.
Yeah. I mean, he will get that comeuppance.
Eventually, yeah. I mean, he's definitely going to be shunned from his society because no one wants to hang out with Poverty Greg who stole their clothes.
He will need to move to a different 30-person village.
There is certainly a social cost to this scheme, and I like the consequences are not really shown.
For being a Polish tale, this seems very American.
Yeah,
in its mindset.
Right.
And in the ending of, yeah, it worked out for him. And he kept being an asshole and it kept working for him. The end is one of those tales where that protagonist does not set a great example for your life or anybody.
I mean, I don't think he's supposed to, though. Like, the story does make him out to be a liar.
I mean, yeah.
So, like it's not encouraging you to do this. But
it shows you that it rewards you.
I mean, like, and it is true.
There's no punishment. Like, usually there's some kind of divine retribution at the end that's like, yeah, sure, he got to eat off of gold plates while wearing his mink coat, but in the end, he was left alone and friendless and no one liked him, and he died of pneumonia alone in his house.
I mean, this calls into question for me the entire afterlife, because maybe he won't even get comeuppance then.
Yeah, it seems like everyone's real busy.
They're so busy, they're just going to forget.
They just stretch too thin to get around to processing everyone.
Yeah, like, it's going to be like an IRS thing where they're like, well, that's past 8 years, so statute of limitation is up.
Not worth it anymore.
We're not gonna follow up on this.
Yeah, like, we are understaffed up here. St. Peter's having to tours on Earth constantly for work up in heaven. But yeah, I think my biggest problem with this story is the fact that it exists.
Well, that's a shame.
Like, just the way that it has presented everything. Its whole ending.
Yeah, it had a unique structure. Like, that threw me for a loop.
Uh-huh. And in what way?
I kind of expected Bilks to be different.
The what?
Like, the bilking of people's stuff from them.
Uh-huh.
Like a repetition of the saddle gambit?
Yeah. Once that was established, to have it change to, oh, I'm being sued now, was at least an interesting twist.
Right.
Like, someone was going to seek damages from one of these tricks.
I don't know how much of this is that it is a more modern translation of these tales.
That would fundamentally change the story.
Yeah, if it's imbued it with a little bit of our current cynicism.
I don't know how the trick worked.
The hat trick?
Yeah.
The literal hat trick?
The literal hat trick.
Apparently that judge is an idiot. I think
it has to boil down to him believing one man over three men corroborating each other.
I mean,
I think it boils down to he was listening to someone for longer than he wanted to be, and he's maybe also busy and just wants it done. Like, everyone in authority here seems to just be too busy to deal with their shit right.
I guess my next question is, what is everybody busy with then?
Yeah, what is the
business?
What
is going on? What is the holdup?
I guess maybe it's a commentary about how people ascribe authority to wealth. Like, oh, this person's rich. They must know what they're doing, so I should listen to them.
But do they know that Poverty Greg is rich at this point? Or do they just know some weird new duds?
I mean, he showed up.
He's got the duds and he has the saddle and the gold.
I don't think he's, like, flaunting these things, though, because if he came in swinging a sack of 100 goldens in a suit about how he had taken 100 goldens from this guy for a gold saddle that was never delivered, and he's swinging the sack of gold.
And wearing the saddle.
Yeah, he's got the saddle on his back. I don't think the judge would be as befuddled, so I don't know if Poverty Greg is out of the poverty closet. Yet, out of the rich man's closet, I guess.
Why was he going to trial again?
Because the dealer was suing him for stealing his $100.
Yeah, okay.
He paid up front and didn't get a saddle.
Right.
Surely the dealer should have testified and said, like, hey, he's got this golden saddle.
He did. Like, that's how it started. The dealer testified the whole story, and then the guy was like, but everyone's robbing me.
They didn't have, like, they didn't ask for evidence of the existence of this thing.
That's because this judge is either drunk off his ass or too busy to do his job right.
Yeah, I think what this story comes down to is just poor courtroom proceeding.
I think what the story comes down to is, like, when all of the protections in place are stretched out too much, like
shitty Gregs are gonna get through.
Yeah, like, Peter's obviously doing the work of three Peters. God seems too busy to, like, think through an answer in a way that would...
God's doing the work of a pantheon.
Right. And this judge in this town of 30 people, maybe there's just constant bar brawls that he has to do and he's just always on it. Or maybe he has like three other jobs.
So much village crime.
Right. So, like, everyone's stretched too thin to do their jobs right. So they have created a Greg. And also that, like, the natural inequality of society's money distribution can create a Greg. It's just a dick.
You're saying when places are understaffed, Gregs are created.
Yes. I feel like you can see this in an office setting pretty quickly.
People take advantage of the system.
Yeah.
When everybody's stretched too thin.
Greg start crawling out of the clammy corners of the office.
They start working hard, and then they start realizing that A, no one's overseeing them, and B, they get no benefit for working hard, so then they turn into filthy Gregs.
Turn into filthy Gregs or narc Gregs.
I hope nobody named Greg listens to this show.
Sorry, Gregs.
It's just a name pulled at random.
We could just call him Wampus, because there's probably not a Wampus listening.
Probably should have been a Doug. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
It worked out better for you.
Could have been a Doug, but chose to be a Greg.
We've used Greg for, like, that very nice ogre, though.
Yeah. After I said it, I was like, oh, but Greg the ogre was so nice.
There can be nice Gregs and mean Gregs. Gregs come in all shapes and sizes.
That's a good moral. Gregs come in all shapes and sizes.
Mean Gregs is my favorite Tina Fey movie.
Starring Greg Kinnear.
Mm-hmm. God.
Yeah, I remember him.
Now I need to remember other Gregs.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Greg, that's it.
Three of them.
Three Greg Kinnears.
So would you guys do anything to fix this story? Or are we just going to, like, change its moral message to be about, like, staff your people enough so that you don't build Gregs?
I mean, it is certainly a caution to that, I guess.
If I were to make it, like, a better story about better morals, I would have him, like, learn that he would need to be a deceitful fraud to be rich and then decide, well, maybe being rich ain't so great.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't need to do that.
I mean, like, there's...
I'm all right, I guess.
Maybe I was rich in spirit before. Maybe... Like, if I was less of a dick, people would, like, help me out.
It's a more positive message if I don't want to get too into it. But, yeah, that's, like, that is a more positive spin on a related message.
Or if being a dick to get rich, like, it has enough social consequences work out, but then he learns a better way to at least not be hand-to-mouth or, like, people realize their system is complicit in creating the Greg, and they try and figure out a way to help prevent the level of poverty that sends people to filthy Greg levels.
Yeah, so just do that, Poland.
Yeah, Poland. Get on it.
We expect a new draft next week.
You know, America can't get this together, so we look to you.
We have to pitch this movie in like 7 days, and this draft you've given us is unreadable. That's all I've got.
Hey, hire more people, office folks /restaurants/retail places.
That's the moral of the story this week.
Yeah, then you won't create the filthy Gregs who come and yell at you about their expired coupons.
Greg does that too.
Yeah.
Is there no low that Greg won't stoop to?
Greg is the Deborah.
Deborah?
It's just like a generic white lady name that you yell about when...
Is it?
Yeah, when someone's spending 20 minutes holding up the cashier line because their coupons expire, but damn it, they wanted the 60 cents off the Campbell's soup.
It is a mentality do not understand, cannot get into.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for us. This is a tale without much whimsy, but with a lot of social commentary. So thank you to Goose for suggesting this tale to us, and we'll get to your other one once we've run away from Poland for a little bit and given them time to forget that we have ventured in there and criticized their moral lessons.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Goose.
To whoever it's going to. Just a blanket thank you.
Karima for executive producing this episode.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
Thank you. Again, to whoever. Just wherever it needs to go.
Thank you to all of our sponsors. On Patreon and Discord.
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you, patrons.
The many Whisper Biscuits out there.
Yeah, we had some interesting things happen in the Discord, and I am reading the names from Patreon straight down the list. there's no system, there's no method for all of you who are discussing this.
Or, like, diving you, real deep into how set, Gordy read the names.
You set your names to be what they are. I am going directly down the list. This is what you wanted. Thank you to our top-tier patrons. Whisper Biscuit, Sarah, Robert, Jeremiah, Whisper Biscuit, Whisper Biscuit, 7 Whisper Biscuits, Dom, Whisper Biscuit, Whisper Biscuit, Jenna, Jen, Whisper Biscuit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I assume you know who is who.
And thank you always, Doug.
Thanks, Whisper Biscuit.
Thanks. Just thanks.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
Thanks.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
Thank you, Bisker Whisket.
Thank you, Eye of Dayton.
I don't know what that is.
That's a new one in the Discord. I'm just shouting them all out to them. Thank you, Whisper Biscuit. Thanks. And thank you, Yonder Toad.
Thanks.
Thank you, Whisper Biscuit.
We're What the Folklore, and for whatever reason, that's how it works. Never again. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.